Our scripture reading this morning is found in God's Word and on page 1881. The book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is God's word.
What should a believer's relationship to God's word be? James, in chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, tells us there's two essential things. One, if you're a Christian, you must properly receive God's word. And then you must properly do God's word. You can put it many different ways. We must listen to the word and then live the word. We must accept it and apply it. Our creed must lead to proper conduct, our beliefs to proper behavior. Lots of ways to say this, but no matter how you say it, these two things are essential. Properly receive, and then properly do. Now, two Sundays back, we spent some time looking at properly receiving from verses 19, 20, and 21. And now we're going to concentrate on verses 22 to 25 on being a hearer and a doer, properly doing God's word. But let me briefly review verses 19 through 21. Verses 19 through 21 tell us that hearing God's word is a serious business. So James says we must be quick to hear, slow to speak. It's a serious stuff. And James basically implies in verses 19 through 21 that God's view is the only view that matters. It's really not God's opinion or God's view. It's truth. And it's what matters, what God reveals, what God says. So James says instead of getting angry when we hear truth, we should sit under it and listen carefully to it. James says we must put away sinful distractions. Verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. James says we must be humble listeners and receive with meekness the implanted word. And James says that God's word's not an option for believers. It's a saving instrument of our soul. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, verses 22 through 25 continue with the second part. There's the receiving, and then there's the doing. And James gives us five truths here about hearing and doing. And the first truth is that proper hearing is the essential first step to proper doing. You're never going to do until you first hear. These are inextricably linked together. You can't break these two things apart. James's argument here is kind of like his faith without works is dead argument. You can say you hear the word of God, but unless you hear and do it, then something's wrong with the way you're hearing it. You can say you have faith, but unless there's works with your faith, something's wrong with your faith. Proper hearing results in proper doing. And one who does not do the word after hearing it, James says, is deceived. They're deceived about their proper receiving it. So what James is saying is that the receiving is essential and the doing must follow. They're inextricably linked. They're an inseparable pair. So James starts verse 22 with a connective word. It's translated but in most translations. But the idea, however, is that James is connecting what he's just said about the hearing with what he's going to say about the doing. He's connecting them together. So verse 22, which says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, is not minimizing the hearing. It's simply pointing out that something's wrong with hearing that stands alone. Something's wrong with hearing that stands alone. So James says, be doers. And notice it says in verse 22, not hearers only. I think the NIV says, do not merely listen. James isn't eliminating the hearing. He's connecting it to the doing. Just like faith without works is a dead faith, a false faith. One who hears and does not do has failed to hear properly. So it's important to be reminded of the receiving that's been spoken of, because it's the essential first step to the doing. You can't say, I'm too busy doing, so I don't hear. The doing comes after the proper hearing. So it's essential we're quick to hear. It's essential we recognize the seriousness of hearing. It's essential that we're slow to speak, recognizing that when it comes to truth, God's view is what matters. It's essential we're slow to anger because it's detrimental to our spiritual health and growth. It's essential to put away sinful distractions and be humble, teachable receivers. We understand it's not an option, for the word saves us. It continues to deliver us from sin's power after conversion. That's the first thing we want to have in our minds this morning. Proper hearing is essential. It's the essential first step to proper doing. And then the second truth is that proper hearing should lead to proper doing. James now speaks of being one who does, after he hears what the word says, he does it, does what he hears. We are to humbly listen and receive, and then we're to embrace it, make it a part of our lives. But be, the word be there, be doers, has the idea of become. The NIV really paraphrases here. It says, do what it says. But the idea here is we're becoming doers. It's an over time thing. We grow in our doing. The word transforms us, but it transforms us over time. The New American Standard Version translates it, prove yourself doers. And I think that's James' point. We must prove that we've listened properly by our taking action. Our profession of faith requires putting into action what we've heard. We speak of practicing what's preached. That's how faith works. We embrace what we have received from the Word of God in such a way that to some degree it shows up in our lives. It shows up in our living. But be doers of the Word. Be becoming doers of the Word. The Scripture speaks to us of a God who loves us. A God we can trust. When we hear that, we trust him. The scripture reveals a God who saves through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we embrace Jesus. We say, Jesus, you're who I'm trusting in. You're my Savior. I trust in my righteousness not a bit, but in your work. The scriptures point us to the direction of being honest, for example. So we say, oh, I've got to put away lying. The scriptures tell us of a God who's worthy to be praised and thanked. So we praise him and thanksgiving. We do none of these things perfectly. All believers have a long, long way to go. And we do these things by grace in his strength. But the point James is making here is we are becoming doers. Our life is being changed. And someday it will be changed perfectly in resurrection. So number one, proper hearing is the essential first step to proper doing. And number two, proper hearing should lead to proper doing. But be doers of the word. Number three, when proper hearing does not lead to proper doing, one is blinded to the reality of his or her spiritual life. Verse 22 again. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So James is speaking of those who hear, but they hear it as those who are deceiving themselves. If we fail to connect the truth to our lives, we're fooling ourselves. We must embrace the truth in our lives. It must become part of the reality of our living. The word deceiving here has the idea of a deception based on faulty reasoning, false arguments. Not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I've got good arguments for why I don't practice the word. I've got all of these wonderful ways to reason my sin. There are certainly those who can do this. Reason away their sinfulness. Reason away their discipleship. Well, I don't follow Christ in this area because. And rationalize sinfulness. We can be very good at that. So brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you this morning what James is implying here is there are no valid reasons for not following Christ. Understand James is saying, in essence, that there's something drastically wrong if you claim to be a humble hearer. Oh, I've just got a humble heart and listen to the word of God. But then nothing happens in your life. You don't apply properly what you hear. Something's drastically wrong. And what James is saying here is, it's a deception. Those deceived are blinded to the reality of their spiritual condition. They just don't see it. In other words, it's possible to deceive oneself into thinking, oh, I'm a believer, but their life speaks otherwise. It's possible to deceive oneself into thinking, I'm really spiritual, but one is not. It's possible to hear the word in a superficial way, but not actually sit under it with a proper respect for it. James is making us look hard at reality here. And he's saying, no, if you hear only, you're deceiving yourself. You sit under the word, but you don't embrace it in your life, you're deceiving yourself. We need to look at reality. Is there this combination in our lives of receiving and doing? Now, if you've ever watched, for example, this is an example, an illusionist like David Copperfield, in one of his performances, he makes the Statue of Liberty disappear. Now, if you've watched that, And you watch that and you say, wow, how did he do it? I think he really made the Statue of Liberty disappear. See, you're being deceived. Trust me, he did not make the Statue of Liberty disappear. Not only didn't he can't make the Statue of Liberty disappear. That's why it's called an illusion. It's not really happening. And James is saying, those who look into the Word of God, and for example, they hear the Word of God preached, but they don't see their need for Christ, or their need for grace, or their need for new morning mercies every day, or their need for spiritual growth, or their need for church. They hear these things in the Word of God, but they don't really see it. They're blind to the reality of their spiritual condition. That's what James is saying here. So number one, proper hearing is the essential first step to proper doing. Number two, proper hearing should lead to proper doing. Number three, when proper hearing does not lead to proper doing, one is blinded to the reality of his or her spiritual condition. Number four, the idea of truly hearing without subsequent doing is foolish. That's what James is saying here. The idea, I'm really hearing the word and humbly sitting under the word, but it doesn't follow that I do it. That's foolishness. And so James in verses 23 and 24 gives an analogy. He says, one who hears and does not do God's word is like a person who looks at his face in the mirror. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. Now, in verse 23, the verb James uses for looking is much more. It means much more than a casual glance. Quick look in the mirror, leave. The idea is, and it's translated this way in the ESV, it says, is like a man who looks intently. The verb means to scrutinize, to give careful attention to. Now, the mirrors of their day weren't like ours. They were made of polished bronze or copper. The reflection was poor enough. Thus, you'd have to look carefully, scrutinize, give careful attention to. But the whole idea of looking is that you take necessary remedial action. You're looking in the mirror to inspect your appearance and to make the proper improvements. And James says, if anyone's a hearer and not a doer, he's like someone who looks intently at his natural face, and then he goes away and doesn't do anything about it. He forgets what he saw. So the person is looking to inspect his or her appearance and make the proper improvements, see if there's something that should be corrected. In James' example here, it's he looks at his face. Now, of course, we examine other things in our day. Is my hair out of place? Is there dirt on my face? Is my shirt buttoned correctly? This is no lie. Many, many times, my wife and I will leave the house, and my wife will lovingly say something like, don't you ever look in the mirror before you go out? Because there's something I haven't made remedial necessary correction about. But James is saying, this person looks carefully, then goes away, verse 24, and forgets right away. At once forgets what he saw. In other words, he doesn't do anything about what he saw. He fails to take action that the mirror showed was needed action. And the person who hears without doing is like this person who sees something that needs remedying but doesn't correct it, just walks away. Now, the Word of God acts like a mirror in some way. We look in the Word of God and we see who God is, but then we see who we are. It shows us how to respond to God, what God's provided for us through Christ. It shows us His will. It shows us His holiness. And therefore, it shows us our sinfulness, God's judgment, our need for grace. It shows us the grace of Christ. It shows us what it means to be a disciple. It shows us our need to be humble and dependent upon God, and more and more. We don't look just to look. We look, and the resulting action is to embrace it, to act upon it. That's what James is saying here. And please don't think that this is just about doing good works. Well, I look in the Word of God and it says to do some good things, and so I do some good things and I guess everything's fine. No, there's much more in the Word of God. Scripture says to trust God and not worry. That should speak to us. You mean when I get worried and anxious and stuff, that's not right? Yes. We do it, but the Word of God should show us that's not how it's supposed to be in our lives. We should say, God, I need to be less anxious and more trusting. I need to be less anxious and more praying. Scripture says to worship God supremely. We want to embrace that. And do I worship God as I ought to? No, I fall short in that area. But God, help me to do that more and more and more, worship you. Scriptures say to promote unity in the church among the brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be doers in these areas. Now, I think James is purposely using a ridiculous situation here. Would you actually look in a mirror to see if you look okay and then not do anything about the problem? Oh, yeah. Look, I got a spot of dirt on my face. Well, guess I'll leave that. I'll just leave it there. No, that would be ridiculous. You see the spot of dirt, you do something about it. To truly hear and not respond is foolish. It would be like cooking a meal, following a recipe in the cookbook, using the ingredients, seeing them all, looking at the measurements, but then deciding to ignore something. Well, calls for one cup of sugar. Instead, I'm going to put a teaspoon of oregano in instead of the sugar. You say, well, that's foolish. That's what James is saying here. The one who hears the Word of God, and that's all he does, is deceiving himself. Hearing without subsequent doing is foolish. And then the last thing James says here is, it's the hearer and doer. It's when the connection is there. It's when it goes like it's supposed to go, and we humbly receive the Word of God and embrace it and start becoming doers. It's the hearer and doer who's truly liberated. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. In other words, he's becoming a doer more and more and more. Not being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He says, oh, this word, I love the word. And it's great. And it convicts me, shows me that I fall short, but whoa, I want to do. I want grace to do and strength to do. I want to know what it says. And put it into my life. I want to trust God more and worship God more. And this is this process. This one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is the proper response This is not the foolish one. This is not like the man who looks in the mirror, sees something wrong, but then leaves and forgets it. James speaks here of the believer who looks into, hears. When it says here, the one who looks into, that corresponds to hearing the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, continues therein, meaning he keeps looking. He doesn't walk away and forget. He doesn't look like every once in a great while or something. This is an ongoing process of looking at the word and embracing the word. This is a lifestyle. This person is the doer who acts instead of forgetting and is thus blessed in his doing. So there's the one who hears and doesn't do, he's deceived, and the one who hears and does, he's blessed. Now look what James says. This is the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. I think the NIV says the law that gives freedom. James is referring to something that has the power to liberate. This must in some way refer to looking into the gospel of Christ, this new covenant relationship believers have. So the law of liberty here is the law, but it's the law as it's fulfilled in new covenant terms. It's not the law that used to condemn, but it's the law that now guides. It's not the law that was looked into improperly and caused self-righteousness. Oh yeah, I do all those things, like the rich young ruler. When he said, what should I do to get eternal life? He said, well, you know the commandments, this. Oh, I've done those from my youth up. It's not that person. The self-righteous person, it's not the person who's terrified, do this, this, and this, and this, well, forget it, I'm done. It's the believer who looks into the law, and it now brings joy and peace because it no longer condemns, but it guides our lives. As believers who've been given a new heart and the indwelling presence of God's Spirit, we've also been given liberty in Christ. Liberty to look at God's word and say, I delight in your law. I want it to guide me and direct me. I'll live it out, but only by your power and only by your grace. To that one, he will be blessed in his doing. James is not suggesting here that we earn blessings or work for our salvation. We're not earning salvation here. Our blessings always come through Christ. He earned them for us. He died on the cross for our sin. He rose again. It's in him we're blessed. But as God's Spirit guides us and empowers us to know Christ and follow Christ all by grace, as this happens, we are truly blessed in Christ. By knowing his peace, his joy, his love, his hope. James is making the point that to be truly liberated, we embrace the word of God and it transforms our lives. All the blessings come through Christ and because of his work. They're based on Christ's perfect life, but nonetheless, they come to us as the Spirit guides. We trust in Christ and rest in Christ and follow Christ. So James says the Christian is blessed in his doing or her doing. In. There's just an inherent blessing. Just following Christ in our imperfect way. But looking into the Word of God and letting it transform us slowly over time by God's Spirit because we have a new heart that loves God and loves His Word. Just that is such a blessing. James is not prescribing, hey, if you're good, then God's going to give you a bunch of stuff. It's not what he's talking about. Some material, physical gain. Pastor preached today, if I do some good things, then I'll have a really good Christmas. Get some good stuff. No. He's saying that following Christ is a blessing in and of itself. It's a joy to know Christ. It's a joy to see his grace working in us. We possess his peace and his love and his hope and his joy. And those things are the substance of the blessedness that comes to us from God. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not a hearer, forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed. He's the one who gets the peace and the joy and the hope of his salvation. So James gives us here some pretty important truths. You got to properly hear before you can properly do. It's not just a nice step, it's essential. And then if you do properly, it should lead to proper doing. And when it does not lead to proper doing, it means you're blinded to the reality of your spiritual life. You're in a fog. You think everything's okay, and it's not okay. It's actually foolish to think you can hear without doing, and that's okay. Because it's the hearer and doer who's truly liberated. How blessed we are as believers that Christ liberated us from the bondage of sin by his immeasurable, amazing, extravagant, wonderful grace. So if you're here this morning, you're a believer, keep intently looking into the Word of God. Keep on humbly receiving its precious truth. Keep asking God more and more that you understand it. That you know it. Keep embracing with all your heart the gospel message that is the center of it. Understanding the scripture is a redemptive story from beginning to end. Keep seeking Christ. Keep seeing him. His glory, his grace. Desire to follow him. Ask the Spirit of God to more and more open your eyes and show you more clearly his word, and to see more clearly places you're struggling. If you're a believer, that's the message. Keep being a doer. Keep being a hearer. Keep these both together. But the passage does suggest another category of person. The passage does say, no, there's such a thing as a hearer only. One who has a bunch of excuses concerning truly embracing God's word. And so if that's you this morning, don't be deceived. If you're a genuine believer, this passage is leading you to repent. I haven't been paying attention. I haven't been receiving the word of God as I should. Haven't held it in the esteem I should. Haven't prayed and asked God to open my eyes more and more to behold its wonderful truths and to give me grace and strength to follow Christ. If you're a believer, but these verses are speaking to your heart, that's the Spirit of God saying, no, you've got to move in a more healthy spiritual direction. And then, of course, if you're an unbeliever, the Word of God says that you're already under his condemnation because you sin. You don't have the forgiveness that Christ came to give. The same word of God that condemns says that Jesus came to rescue sinners by dying on the cross for sin and rising again in victory. And so if you're an unbeliever this morning, the word of God says to you, come to Christ. Come by faith. Receive him. And in receiving him, you receive forgiveness of sin, and you receive everlasting life with God. And so the call to you this morning, if you're an unbeliever, is to to come to Christ and be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, for the wonderful, wonderful good news about Christ. And Lord, for the law that shows us our great need for Christ. And then when we embrace Christ, we're liberated to desire to do it. Lord, as believers, we're just thankful for Jesus, thankful for the gospel. And as we partake now in the Lord's Supper, we pray that you would be our center here. This would be what we focus on, Lord, that you gave your body and you gave your blood for us. We do this, Lord, to remember that. We ask your presence as we remember. We ask that you'd help us even in this ordinance to renew our faith. And Lord, that you might be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.